Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, Tay.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
We're back.
We are back.
Katie is not pregnant anymore.
It's great. It's just so wonderful. I say that. Don't take that to heart. But like, it's for me. You know how I was in the end. I got like anxiety about like being outside.
Yeah.
As long as I had like two overheating moments. So you worry about like the baby inside of you because you don't want anything to happen.
Also, pregnancy is uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. And like he was in the right position.
Yeah.
Whereas like Leah wasn't. And they're vastly different feelings.
Yeah, because he was kicking you in the ribs.
Yeah, and he was like putting pressure on my canal, ready to like come out. I was like, this is a nice.
Katie's biggest fear that she was going to go into regular labor versus
110%. Because I would be in an emergency C-section.
Yeah. He's like, I want to say something. I have things to say. So we have little Liam here. Yeah, he's fine. He just lost his binky. But Katie and I, we haven't recorded in like a month, over a month.
Yeah.
Because we pre-recorded a bunch of episodes leading up, and then we were supposed to record last week, but then
I decided to move last minute.
she was like, I'm going to give birth on Monday and I'm going to move Saturday.
That wasn't the plan.
No, that wasn't the plan.
But it turned out to be the plan.
Tom had different plans.
I literally got told Saturday night at 8 p.m. He like looked at me and he was like, we have awful people that lived above us. And this kid, first off, we did run out of space. We had no space left. Mm-mm. Great apartment for just two people. Not a great apartment when you have two kids and two adults.
No.
And babies have gear. So, and then we have an upstairs neighbor who literally just would run, jump, stomp from like 8 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the morning. And then sometimes you'd hear me after the fact. So like Tom did a rundown with some stuff on Saturday, the things like we weren't using, like my desk. I'm out of work for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
My bookshelves. Like I don't, we can move those. Came back up. It's 8 o'clock. He's like, we're talking. Like, when do you want to move? I'm like, I'm thinking like in 2 weeks. Let me get clear to lift some stuff. So, like I can't do heavy things, but I can still like do some things. And all of a sudden that kid took off and just didn't stop. But he looked at me and goes, I'm going to drop you off tomorrow at my parents' house. You're just going to sit there and do absolutely nothing besides watch children. Call your parents. I need their help, but we're out. And I was like, okay.
Kitty's like, I mean, sure.
Sure. If I'm not doing anything, then why? You got it. And that's what we did.
And I love that for you guys.
We've moved 9 times in 11 years. We can do it. Clearly, we're pros. This was fucking tough.
15-month-old.
A newborn, a brand new baby.
Literally.
I was C-section.
And C-section. So, yeah. So.
Tuesday, I was like, I'm not well.
Katie was like,
maybe I shouldn't have moved.
No. And then she texts me. She's like, as soon as I, like, find out, like, you know, once I get cleared, like, to drive, like, I think we're going to need a day out, blah, blah. So I was like, all right, well, I'll come down Sunday anyway. I'll take you out. I text her. She's like, I'm better now. I don't need to go out.
I was. Yeah. And then, well, I was also thinking about it too, because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to leave him with two kids. Like, at least, like, when I am cleared to drive and lift, like, that we could take him with us, or one of them can come with us and be strapped with the other. But I was like, I'm not going to burden Tom with that right now.
It was just so funny. She was like,
I got more space. Sounds good.
Yeah. She was like, no, I'm okay now. Like, I don't feel the pressure at this point. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, if it changes, let me know.
I kid you not, Thursday, I was sitting on the couch. So this is, I gave birth Monday. I was home, obviously, by Wednesday afternoon. So Thursday, I'm sitting there. Again, we were in Avenel. So, like, I was already deep cleaned. Mm-hmm. It's your house. Like, nothing was moved. I'm staring at four walls, and Tom walks over to me. He's like, your brain is like, you're going, what's up? And I was like, I think I'm going to go back to work after 4 weeks. And he was like, what?
I would have come here and strapped you down.
I was like, I can't do this. I can't sit here. I can't do this. I was like, I don't know how people. If I had the choice to rot on my couch, I'll do it. You tell me I have to rot on my couch, I can't do that. Don't tell me what to do.
I do agree with that. Cause like the first 2 weeks after my surgery, when I couldn't do anything, I was like,
this is miserable.
And then I kept trying to do things, right? Like I was like, oh, well, I'm going to go for a walk. I walked over to you, which again, totally fine to do. But I was like, I'm going to go for walks and I'm going to do this. And like, but then like, I was also like, okay, I shouldn't do too much.
You have to be smart.
And I was like, oh, like I want to clean. Like I'm going to literally, but like if like today, like I was like, oh, I really have to vacuum. Like, but I'm able-bodied, so I don't want to. But once I got the staples out and I was able to like leave the house and make plans.
It's a different story.
Those last 6 weeks of disability were so much different and so much better because I was like, oh, I can make plans. Like I can go to the beach. I can go to the bookstore. I can go do this. I could do this. I could do this. Cause I was like cleared to like drive so I can like leave. And I also didn't have any kids to take care of. So I was like, the world is my oyster. Like I could do whatever I want.
I mean, even like second baby, like my anxiety is nowhere near where it was with Leah because it's a second kid.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like I'm like,
you like know what the norm is.
Yeah.
You're not like every little thing like he does, you're not.
I drove home to the hospital in the back seat because it's a 45-minute drive and he's brand spanking new.
Yeah.
Next day, I went to go to the doctor's office, but I had to bring Leah with us. I can't fit back there.
No.
So I didn't. So I sat in the front and I was completely fine.
Yeah.
Asked me that after Leah and I was like, I'm not well.
Yeah.
Even like the camera stopped working on one of them and I was like, they're fine. Like, yeah, I just, I don't know, like, it's fine. It's fine. So it's like a vastly different experience. But yeah. That's like now that I am not relying on Tom to drive me places. So yeah, like in a
he knocked his binky out again.
Of course he did. Like in a week, like next week, like I can be like, oh, I'm gonna take Liam and we're just gonna go stop at my mom and dad's house, or we're gonna run to the store really quickly.
Yeah.
Like I can get my own self out.
Yeah.
It's not like me looking at Tom being like, did you finish work yet? Because I need to go. Like,
yeah.
It's different.
It's completely different. I agree with that.
I love the pictures this takes of us. I'm looking at yours.
Oh, I know. I look, first of all, do you see the one? Oh, no, yours. Mine are different than yours.
Oh.
Yours, you're like mid-talk and you're like, mouth
That's
is all
like
open.
What, you're like.
And I look, yeah, like so like indifferent in mine. But yeah, we were supposed to be talking about the wedding people today.
Yes.
But we're going to do spilling the tea because things have been a little hectic.
You're welcome.
So we're just going to spill the tea. We have, I think I have almost too many things to talk about. So
oh,
I'm only going to pick like the top five things I wanted to discuss.
Okay.
And I feel like you probably have a lot. I could go first because I want to, the last spilling the tea we did, I was like in the midst of my Emily Henry reread.
Okay.
And now I'm done with it.
Okay. When was our last spilling the tea?
Good question.
Because I don't want to repeat stuff.
I think it was, here, I'll look it up. It was July 17th. So it was exactly 4 weeks ago.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to just run it back. I'm going to start with Emily Henry. And
I'm surprised he's not asleep yet.
No. Good wake window.
True. Good wake window.
So I think at that time I had just finished Book Lovers and I was still very much like my ranking. I was like sticking by what my original ranking was, which was Beach Read / Funny Story, then Book Lovers, Happy Place, then People Will Meet on Vacation.
Okay.
And then I got to Happy Place and I was like, I'm going to do the audio this time. And Happy Place is now my second favorite Emily Henry book. Like, I bumped
really?
Funny Story down to third.
So I just did a post that I put up yesterday. What did I rank mine?
Oh, you did. I remember I was like, oh.
I had to think long and hard because, like, again, I haven't done a reread.
I think you had Book Lovers as one, Funny Story as two.
I did. Hold on. This is Wendy City. Book Lovers, Funny Story, Beach Read,
Happy Place,
People We Meet on Vacation.
People We Meet on Vacation is still my least favorite.
It's still good.
Yeah, no,
they're all great books.
I think I gave that a 4 and everything else is a 5.
Yes.
So like, it's like literally like I'm deducted. Like they're all technically number one besides
the audio,
People We Meet on Vacation.
Emily Henry audios.
Julia Whalen.
Is phenomenal.
That's why I think I loved Happy, like I loved Happy Place on audio so much that I was like, it was fourth. I'm like, it's second.
That's crazy.
And then I did Funny Story on audio. I loved Funny Story while I was reading it. I did it on audio. Again, amazing.
Phenomenal.
But I was like, I didn't love it as much after reading them all kind of back to back. I was like, oh, I like Happy Place more. I love Miles and Daphne.
They're so good.
But like something about like Wynn and Harriet and like the friendship group. And I know people like had issues with the friend group, but I think like being in your mid-30s and like having friends who started having kids and like friends who like moved away and like, I don't know.
I think it's very relatable right now.
I related like really hard to the friendships. Yeah.
And even like the situation, like we're like of our friend groups, you and I were, I know I have two children now, but like we the last were the ones. Last ones having babies. So it's like, you can really kind of.
Yeah. And like people like your friendships are going to change. Like the.
Yes.
The dynamic is going to change. How often you see each other is going to change. Priorities are shifting when people have families. It's completely normal, but it also is really sad. You have to like kind of like mourn.
You
like your youth a little bit, yeah. And like, you know, the way that like things were, where you could just kind of drop anything on like a Thursday and go to happy hour and spend all night together.
We talk about that all the time, Tom. I like remember, like even like you and Gil were at the beach. Like, we just said this. I was like, oh, like remember the times we could just be like, oh, we're gonna come meet you. Like,
yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
No, and like
you have to like think about the children.
Yeah, like I live like an hour from all of my friends, like that I grew up with. And I work near them. So like a lot of times when we get together, I'll be like, can we do it on a day that I'm like in the office? Cause it's a lot easier for me. And I'm the only one without kids right now. So I'm like, it's okay for me to not go home after work. Like, but I'm like, the dynamic has shifted a lot, obviously, which is fine, but it just like was so relatable, like that aspect. Yeah. And I love a second chance romance. Same. And like, when it's told in like alternate, like you get like a lot of flashbacks and like just
you can
when
like
it,
really understand what they were going through.
They really like from the minute he sees her, he's in love.
Yes.
Like they loved each other so much. They had such, and they just didn't know how to communicate.
And I think that also speaks to, we both have been with men for a very long time. So no, you also change. Like you don't fully change, but things do change. Again, the dynamic in your
you want things to change, right? Like you want to like learn and grow. Yeah, and
so
like,
it's like I feel like you can almost relate, maybe not fully to what they're going through, but you can almost appreciate like, oh, I can understand now what you have gone through.
Right. And like I understand, like I understood Harriet like not wanting to be like a burden.
Yeah.
And like I understand when like, you know, he's dealing with the death of his father and his mom is sick and like needs help and they don't want to burden each other. And like, she makes him promise her, like, this is like a few years prior, like, you, like, we'll break up before we ever get to a point where like we don't like each other.
Yeah.
And he thinks, like, him breaking up with her, he thinks he's doing her a favor. He thinks that she is like over it. And he's like, I don't want her to stay with me, like, out of obligation. So I'd rather end it now where like she doesn't hate me.
Yeah.
And like, again, like, yes, I could have just communicated better. Blah, 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 whatever. But like he was going through the trauma of like his dad passing away. He's like always felt like kind of like inadequate to her and like whatever. She's like this dog. Like I understood it. And like, yes, they could have talked. But like sometimes you have to go through like these like – they were broken up for 5 months. It's not like they were broken up for like 10 years and like still didn't – like they just needed, I think, space to like
– sort themselves
out. Sort themselves out. And then they were able to like come together. Mm-hmm. And I just love them.
I know. They're so good.
So good.
I should probably do a reread to see like where my true rankings are.
It was like those books never get old. Like none of her books get old. So like,
yeah. I also feel like every time I read one, I'm like, oh, that's my new favorite. Oh, that's my new favorite. Oh,
every time, favorite. I'm like, how could she top it? And
it's
like,
the
oh my god,
series. That's my favorite. Like, I think I even put like on the thing like all these are 5 stars. Like, because it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. How do you
even rank? My least favorite doesn't mean that the book's bad. It's just my least favorite of
the 5
amazing
books.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to kind of pick them out. It's
well, like, I started the whole Emily Henry because after Play Along, like I have been slumping since we got the arc of Play Along. So like end of June.
Yeah. No,
or like the first week of July, whenever it was. Like
if I'm not reading a book that slaps, I'm like, fuck. Like,
yeah.
What? Like, I don't know what to do anymore.
I read Playbook by Rebecca Jenchak. Mm-hmm. And I did really like that. I thought that was like a good book to follow. I think I said that actually in the last one. It was a good book to like follow up Play Along because it was like similar, but like not as good. And then I read Not Another Love Song by Julie Soto, which I know people were like, when like the arcs came out, people were like, this is the best book of the year. Like people were like dying for it.
Yeah.
And I went to the Julie Soto, Ali Hazelwood event at Barnes & Noble Union Square. And it was like amazing. I had such a good time. And then I read the book and like,
it just didn't hit that.
It didn't hit. Like I gave it 3 stars. If you aren't, like I am not, like I never took a music class besides like in elementary school, yeah. like playing the recorder. So I never like played a musical instrument. Like I don't know how to read music. I don't know what any of these, like half of the dialogue I wouldn't understand. Like I didn't understand. So I was like kind of like bored. I think that she like, you know, her writing's really great. I thought the characters were not in love.
Yeah, you were saying that.
They were like in lust and there was passion and they were like smitten with each other. No way these two are getting married and staying married. Mm. There was like, they weren't in love. I'm sorry. They were like, they were pretending. And then I read a few like lit fics. So I was like, maybe I just need to get like out of romance for a bit. So I read Now Is Not the Time to Panic by Kevin Wilson. My Year of Rest and Relaxation by Otessa. I'm not even going to try to pronounce her last name because I'm going to butcher it and I'm so sorry. And then I did Margot's Got Money Troubles by Rufy Thorpe and Yellowface by R.F. Kuang. And I liked all of them. Okay. Like, I think if you need to just like take like
– just sometimes a cleanse.
Take like a little break from like romance or whatever. I liked all of them. I would recommend any of them. Margot's Got Money Troubles and My Year of Rest and Relaxation I liked a lot more than the others.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah.
Good to know.
No, I have more, but I figured, you know, you guys don't want to listen to me just like talk for 30 minutes straight. I mean, maybe you do.
So after my slump of play along also, I went back into my witchy reads. Shocking. I did read Love and Other Conspiracies by Mallory Marlowe. I thought this was like so corny, cute, perfect.
Again, I love that.
Sometimes you just need like a corny, funny, cute little cleanse. Okay, because, like, my nerd side here. I do love the Discovery Channel. Like, Josh Gates, Expedition Unknown.
The Discovery Channel's on right now in the background.
It is. Sometimes it's just background noise. But, like, Expedition Bigfoot. Like, I don't know if I fully believe in Bigfoot, but I love watching people that are, like, so fucking invested in it. And, like, all these other crazy paranormal, like, conspiracies. Like, Mothman. Like, yeah. You name it, I do know about it. I don't know if I believe in it, but, like, I love watching people.
She loves a conspiracy. She loves, like, a supernatural conspiracy.
Give one to me. I want to hear all about it, and I'll formulate my own opinions. So it's, like, this nerdy guy who has his own podcast who goes and hunts for these supernatural beings. This girl needs to, like, get a leg up in her company, and they're throwing her a bone and giving her a potential show. Mm-hmm. Her ex does work for the same company and like mentally abusive. So she doesn't think she's good enough. So like she finds this guy randomly one night, like watching. She's like, I don't fucking believe in any of this shit, but he is so convincing that like people, and like he's like a hot nerd. So
love
people,
a hot
people
nerd.
Are gonna go fucking bananas for this guy. So they start working together and like their banter is just so funny and cute.
Yeah.
I definitely wanted more expedition, but like that's not the purpose of this book. That's just what I wanted. So like, I had to like put that aside. If you just want like a good, it was super quick too. I gave it 4 stars. Same with The Love of My Afterlife. You told me to read this one. I actually really fucking loved it. If you like Ashley Poston paranormal romance, but the banter and quirkiness of an Allie Hazelwood book.
I need to read it.
It's really
I know cute. That I know that I will really like it. I might save that for like. The fall.
It has great. Like, there's 11,000 ratings, and it's still at a 4.2.
No, it's really. Yeah, cute. I've only seen good reviews of it.
Like I again, it's fun. So then I read Haunted Ever After. This was another like, I think it could have been if there was a little bit more, and I'll explain in a minute. But this was so think Haunted Coastal Beach Town. This girl moves here because her friends are all getting married. Her friends all have kids. She cannot carry her own child.
Oh, it's not
brought up like hardcore, but it is talked about. So she's like, I can't, like my friends are kind of like, the group chat never answers me. They only answer each other.
That's sad. But that, my friends are amazing. They don't do that to me.
Exactly. Yeah. So like she was like, fuck this. I gotta like, start somewhere new. So she moves and like, but she moves into this house and for some reason her laptop never charges. So she starts going to, like, this coffee shop. She meets the owner. Again, kind of, like, insta-attraction-y, not insta-love.
Insta-attraction's fine with me because, like, that's kind of, like...
normal. Like,
when I met my husband at a party, I wasn't, like, oh, I love his personality. I literally was, like, oh, there's this cute boy over there, and let me go talk to him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, again, super cute. I wish there was more, like, quirky, fun, like, haunting sightings.
Yeah.
But essentially, she has a haunted house. And then her and this guy kind of have to work together to, like, kind of solve the history and get the history right on the house. to kind of help banish what's there.
Okay.
Again, very up my alley.
Yeah.
If you've ever read a Heather Graham author novel, because there's a Heather Graham actress.
Yeah.
She does not write books. But Heather Graham, the author, writes, this gave me her vibes.
Okay.
She's very old school. Like, she's an OG to me.
Yeah.
Like, paranormal romance. That's it. Then I went to Under Your Spell. So this
I just have to say that that Katie, I didn't know, this is my first time at Katie's new place, and her door is open, the number's on the door, so I couldn't tell, like, what number, like, it was, and I, like, looked in, like, I, like, kind of, like, peeked in, like, oh, like, is this their place, and I saw her witchy bookshelf, and I was like, okay, and I just, like, walked in. I was like, hi, it's me.
So I feel like this would cater to people who like a rock star romance. They
Oh, I love a rock star romance.
The sisters do a spell to kind of, like, banish the one girl's, like, kind of, like, give her good fortune, aka, like, it's, like, the best sex you've ever had, a happy job, like, that you actually like to do, and then something else. That's the spell. That's it. There's one moment, and then, like, there's no witchy woo-woo in this. It's just okay. Rock star romance. So the sisters are all like, oh, yeah, no, the spell is working. Like, the dad's a rock star. He basically knocked up three women almost at the same time. So
honestly, like, I triplets. Love that for him. What a cutie.
Do you need to take him so you can get to So then her one sister who is in the music industry needs the one sister who was kind of like screwed over
yeah.
to like babysit this huge whatever. She ended up having like a one night stand with him at a funeral. And it was like, I can't be with this guy. Like, I've never had a one night stand in my life. And like, now I need to like babysit him. But like, they need him to basically produce like an insane album. Of course they fall in love.
Of course.
But again, it's only 3,000 ratings, but sitting at a 4.23, I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Good banter, good humor. It's a lot of tension, like good moments where like things are about to happen and they don't because they get interrupted.
I love that.
No third act breakup. They do kind of split, but it's not a breakup. It's just they're working through their shit.
Yeah.
Getting back to there. I think it's a really good read. If you like fun side characters, that's a good one. I did Mixed Signals. Do we ever talk about Mixed Signals by B.K. Borison?
I think I talked about it like when I read it last year, but we didn't talk about it on like
when you. We don't
have
to talk about it. Basically, Teresa and I think it fell short.
We were talking about it before because
yeah.
I just started the arc of her newest book coming out in 2025, First Time Caller, and I'm like 50% in and I'm loving it. But I felt the same way about Mixed Signals.
Love Life Farms is never
Love Life Farms
it was
so good.
It was like a 5-star book.
In the Weeds was good,
yeah.
But I don't remember anything about it. And Mixed Signals,
same.
I remember being disappointed. I
yes.
have not read Business Casual yet.
I needed a minute. I read it and I was like,
yeah,
I was going to go back to finish the series. And I was like, I can't. I need to like break this up.
Yeah, but I'm really enjoying it. So I will definitely discuss my final thoughts like once I'm
done.
Finished, but 50% in, like, I was like, oh, I have to go see Katie. Like, I kind of want to just, like, lay on the couch and read.
I have three things left to talk about, but I'll switch it back to
okay.
you.
I guess we can go into Fall With Me by Becca Mack. So, obviously, I'm a big fan of Becca Mack and Hockey Romances, and I really loved Consider Me and Play With Me. And then I think we were both, like, very disappointed by Unravel Me. Like, I just thought Adam and Rosie were so boring.
Yeah.
And, like, so, like, lovey-dovey and, like, corny. Like, and that's just, like, not the kind of romances that I'm into.
It was, like, extremely lovey-dovey and corny.
It was, like, that was insta-love. And, like, the issue that they have is that he never tells her that he's, like, the goalie. He just says he works for, like, a sports
yeah,
organization. And she
stupid.
Gets, like, mad at him. And, like, I just
– skimmed.
Like it was,
25% of that book.
Yeah, it was just like unnecessarily long because like they were in love from like page 50 and like there was like really like no issue. So I wasn't a huge fan. I just found them like very boring. And I think what Becca does so well is like banter and wit and like humor.
Mm-hmm.
And like Adam and Rosie just like weren't funny.
No, they were blasé.
So blasé. So I was like, meh, about Unravel Me. So I was like, okay, like I kind of like felt I was still I'm still a little slumpy, but I was definitely still slumping from Play Along. So I was like, you know what, maybe I would pull off Fall With Me, but I didn't, and I'm happy I didn't. I gave it 4 stars. It's definitely Play With Me is my favorite. Fall With Me is my second favorite.
Okay.
I really liked it. I really like Jackson. I really like Lennon. I do think that she like the books are just like a little bit too long in general. Like they don't have to be that long, but. When I'm, like, enjoying myself, like, it's
mind.
Okay. Like, they were funny. Everything I love about, like, the Becca Mack books in the past, like, this had. Plus, I had a cat. And it had a cat that was – that, like, literally is, like, Winston. Like,
okay.
Definitely the same breed, because they're like, oh, he's a smushed face. Like, well, he's an exotic short hair. They never explicitly say that, but that's the breed. He's more – so, like, Winston is orange with white. Mitts is white with orange. So I was like, oh, he's, like, the opposite of Winston. They dress him up.
That's so
Jackson,
funny.
Like, walks around, like, singing to him, like, you're my little babe. Like, I'm like, this is Winston. This is me and Winston. So I loved it.
I love that for you.
And get all, and then like the cameos, like Jackson is like his parents die when he's a baby. He's raised by his grandma. And then his best friend dies when I think they're like 13. And he was like really close like with his friend's parents. But like after his friend like dies, he's stung by a bee. Jackson like has to run to the house to get the EpiPen. By the time he gets there, his friend already like.
What's that movie?
Stand By Me?
Yeah.
No.
Macaulay Culkin.
With Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Not Stand By Me. But it's like, it's.
Yes, it's the same thing. I'm going to look it up. But you continue talking.
Somebody's yelling into abyss like, oh, it's this.
God, you guys, you're so stupid.
But yes, she's like, he can't see without his glasses. Kind of the same thing. And then his friend's parents like kind of like, they kind of abandon him. So he just has like abandonment issues. He always thinks like. Then he's, like, he gets drafted by, like, a team, and then they trade him, and then that team trades him. So he's, like, he never wants to put roots down because he's always, like, every time I make really good friends in the cities that I'm, like, playing with, and then the minute I leave, like, these people don't keep in touch with me, so, like, whatever. So, like, Carter and, like, the boys. My girl. My girl, yeah. Carter and the boys, like, they're trying so hard to, like, bring him into the group, and he's so resistant, but they're, like, Garrett, like, just keeps showing up and being, like, I love you. Like, they – I love the boys and, like, how they treat him. And then he does get hurt. And so he has to, like, stay back while, like, the team's traveling to, like, see the team doctor to, like, see if he can get cleared. And Lennon is the team photographer. So they, like, they have, like, a chance meeting. And then they, like, she, like, happens to just, like, all of a sudden she's the team photographer. And he's like, oh, fuck, that's the girl that I slept with. So it's kind of cute. But
I like when someone's happy. It's like, oh.
And, like, they kind of, like, hate each other from, like, not hate each other, but he's like a little fratty. Like, he's like a playboy.
Okay.
He's also like, and this is, I think, maybe like a North Jersey Italian thing, but like, he's a scutch. Like, he is an instigator. So like,
he's a little scutch.
Yeah. Like, he's just trying to like, he like loves like messing with her. But anyway, so he has to stay back. She's traveling with the team. So she's like, gets like close, like with like the guys. And then he has like a little like girls night, like with all like the wives and girlfriends. And it's just like, it's so cute because the found family is like really found familying in this. And it's like one of my favorite tropes, like from that series. So then after Fall of Family, let's see what other books? I guess I'll really quickly touch on two others. Rally by Devney Perry. So it's book 3 in the Treasure State Wildcats. Coach is like my favorite Devney Perry book.
It's a really good book.
Loved Coach. I liked Blitz, but like
had some qualms.
And I liked Rally, but I felt like it like just like the end got like really rushed. Like I read it on Kindle and there wasn't a third act breakup, which nice, but there wasn't even like a third act conflict. Like all of a sudden, like I clicked like to hit the next page, and it was the epilogue, and I was like, wait, how did this end?
Interesting. Okay.
I was like, wait, what? Like, I thought like something had to happen. Like, I was like waiting for something to happen. Nothing happens.
Interesting.
And so like overall, I said I had a good time reading it. Like, I don't think Devney like writes a bad book. Like, no. I wouldn't like prioritize it, but I think like if you like her books and you like her writing. You should read it. Yeah.
Pick it up. Okay.
Yeah. I think it would probably be a really good, like, kind of like palate cleansing kind of book. I thought it was so funny. So the male main character, his name is Rush Ramsey. And like, even like when Faye, the female character, meets him, she's like, is that your real name? Or like a nickname? He's like, no, it's a real name. So then he keeps like, their whole thing is like, you got to rally. Like,
whatever.
So then they end up naming their kid Rally. And I was like, is Devney like running out of
names?
Like,
I would just Google like boy names.
Ben, like
Jacob,
literally like anything. She's
Ryan.
Like, yeah.
You keep going. Do you want me to?
But she's like, oh yeah. Like I'm like, so Rush and Ramsey Rally. Names his kid Rally Ramsey.
That's weird.
It's weird. The names were weird. And then I read Born of Blood and Ash, which is the fourth and final book in the prequel series to the Blood and Ash series. So this one follows Sarah and Nykdos. And the first, like, 50% dragged. And then the last 50% was really good. So I gave it 3 stars. It was, like, a good – it you if you're going to – I said – yeah, if you're going to read – the next from Blood, the final from Blood and Ash book, then, like, I think you kind of have to read
this. I don't think that's fair.
No, because she first wrote these, they weren't supposed to be.
I mean, I think it's cool that
you I don't know if you have to.
But I also heard, okay, so when we.
But this when is I like.
Read the latest book.
Yeah.
You and Mary read the other.
Shadow and the Ember, yes, and Light in the
Fire. And yeah. You both were like, you kind of almost need to read this.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't even fucking tell you what I read. I don't remember anything. But I just remember being like, I don't get some of this shit. I don't think it's fair.
Yeah.
If you want to write a second series, cool. Then either tell readers from the get-go, you need this to read the others, or separate them out.
Because at first she said you don't need to read Shadow and the Amber. And now you do, and you definitely do. Because the way that the War of Two Queens ends is, like, Colas comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And... you don't, you're like, okay, who's Colas?
I had no fucking clue who Colas was.
And if you read Shadow on the Ember or like that series, you know who he is. And the way that this last book ends is kind of like, it sets up everything that I think is going to happen on this last from Blood and Ash.
Again, really fucking cool. I just, and that's cool if it happens. You do you as the author, but you should tell people from the get-go. Like, don't change your mind midway
through. Like, I think if you're going to read, if you haven't, like, picked up from Blood and Ash, like, any of these series yet, I think you should read the first three from Blood and Ash books, then go read the first two, I think it's Flesh and Fire
series? Yeah, Flesh and Fire series.
Yeah, the first two of that. Then go back and read A War of Two Queens, which is from Blood and Ash. Then read the next two of the Flesh and Fire series, and then read the last from Blood and Ash book when it comes out, I think,
in
the
fall. I've given up.
Yeah.
You lost me. Sorry.
I'm going to finish. There's one book left.
At that point.
Yeah, I'm going to finish. And I really like the first four from Blood and Ash books. I think it just because fantasy books, when you're not in the mood, and then you feel like you have to read them, it becomes like a burden.
Yes.
And, like, I have just not been in the mood for fantasy books in a really long time.
I also think, and you've said this before in the past as well, just like the Throne of Glass series, if you were reading them as they came out, who knows what you and I may have done with that series.
After Tower of Dawn, I know that I would have went into Kingdom of Ash with a bad taste in my mouth.
Yes. So, I mean, and weirdly enough, like, I liked Tower of Dawn.
Yeah, like, I didn't like it. Again, first of all, you would have never done the tandem read.
I would have never done
if you read it as they were coming out, tandem read didn't exist. So you would have went right from Empire Storms, waited 2 years, got Tower of Dawn, been like, what the fuck?
Yes. And we know my personality. I am very like, what the fuck, I'm done.
And I read it. The first time I read it, I didn't tandem read. My reread, I did. I still don't like Tower of Dawn. I'm sorry. I don't like the characters.
Okay.
The only characters I like in that book, and I know Irene's cool, but like, it's a boring fucking book. It's 700 pages of a snooze fest.
I can understand what you're saying.
Nezrin really and Sartak should have had more pages. They were interesting. They were like out and they were riding like the friggin' whatever they're called.
Yeah.
And like I was interested in. And like a lot of what they do is like sets up Kingdom of Ash. I just thought the book was so boring. Anyway, sorry.
But my point
being,
if maybe we both did from Blood and Ash series, at least especially me.
Yeah.
After everything was all said and done, I might have had a different feeling, and at least if I wanted to binge, I could.
Yeah.
But I didn't binge. No. I've been reading them as they came out, and I have just lost. You lost me.
Yeah, I think that.
You lose me in a lot of series, though. Like, I am
so.
A lot of series.
Yeah.
Especially fantasy series.
And the only fantasy series that I feel like we've both finished and enjoyed are the ones that have already been out.
Yes.
Anything that we've been waiting kind of loses.
It's steam.
Yeah.
Like, even Plated Prisoner, up fucking sass.
Yeah.
I didn't read the latest book that came out.
Okay, so I saw that. I did not like, well, I like Raven's writing. I thought the book was pointless.
Yes.
It was boring. Nothing happened. All it did was create more issues going into the final book. I think she just like had to write it because she needed to get something out. Mm. She had just given birth and she wasn't ready to finish. So I think she like kind of put this in as like it read like a 600 page like bridging novel, like just like a story to get it. It could have been a novella. It could have been a novella. Anyway, I saw that Arcs went out for the final book.
Yeah.
And Bailey had issues with the last book too. Bailey on TikTok. And I saw that she just like said, she was like, she just raved about how it finished.
Okay.
She said that even if you didn't like the last book, this makes up for it.
Okay.
So cool. I'm going in feeling positive about it. Whenever it comes out, I will read it.
I might make you read it first so you could tell me if I need to read.
I mean, you can always just like speed through the audio.
True.
Of the last book if you want to. Or like, or just like if it's on Kindle Unlimited, read the last like
30%. That's true. I can do that as well.
I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted.
But yes, Teresa's right. I feel like the fantasy series we have finished. Because I haven't finished it yet either, and I probably
won't. I was going to say, Zodiac Academy, we loved.
You lost me with the last book. Not the latest, but the one before that, number 7. Number 8, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, I liked it when I was in it, but I did skim a lot of it because I just felt like 8 million chapters from people. I think they ruined Geraldine. You've completely demolished Geraldine for me. And we all know how I operate.
Listen, if a series like ever comes out, I'll be the first one to be like so excited for it because I think that it would be a really fun like TV series.
Oh, agreed.
I think they should have just ended it after book 7 like they originally planned to. There was no reason for them to do book 8. And I think they really shot themselves in the foot because a lot of people didn't care about reading book 9 after book 8.
Anywho. What else you got?
I think that's it.
So I went into, because now with a newborn, it's really easy to do audiobooks because when you're doing night feeds, I don't want to fall asleep. So audio. So Maureen Johnson, she writes YA. They're mysteries. If you've ever read the Truly Devious series, this gives the same kind of vibes. If you've never read Truly Devious series, this gives Good Girls Guide to Murder meets The Umbrella Academy on Netflix. And no magic, but think of like the family aspect.
Yeah.
It's all about the family aspect and like the dad. Very similar to Death at Morning House. There is like a queer rep, which I think was kind of cool. Again, it's like this girl ends up somewhere. She accidentally burnt a house down. Mm-hmm. With like this girl that she brought back to someone's house. She used to house sit for like her family friends. She lit a candle. Apparently candles can explode.
Oh, okay, sure.
Which, like, I believe maybe something happened, but, like, so it burnt half the house down. So she's, like, in all of her fields, which, like, I would be, too. You just burnt someone's house down. So to kind of, like, get her out of her little, like, pity party, these are high schoolers.
Yeah.
She gets sent to this island as, like, a tour guide because, like, she has a great memory, like, whatever. Very believable, and I like that she writes these characters that they are high schoolers, but they have a little bit more mature tendency. These are, think of, like, intelligent children. Or intelligent teenagers. Even, like, the Truly Devious series. Yes, there's young components to it, but I've never felt like, ugh, my God, these are such, like, fucking children. Like, they have a more mature feeling to it. So she kind of has, and it's an alternating timeline. So she doesn't exactly, like, she solves it.
Right.
Not like Stevie does in the Truly Devious series, because she is, like, a researcher. But, like, she does have to try to, like, piece things together, and she does.
Okay.
I thought it was really good. I finished it in 48 hours on audio. Says something. And then I did The Brothers Hawthorne, which is book 4 of The Inheritance Games. We were obsessed with The Inheritance Games.
We were.
The last book was good. I just thought it could have been more. I felt the same way with this book as well. It was good. Jennifer Lynn Barnes knows what she's doing. She knows how to weave a good mystery and like into a story, but like it just didn't hit the way the first three books.
Yeah, so like, is it like all like?
It's everybody that you like, all the brothers. There are a lot of flashbacks going back and forth.
Do you get Avery?
You get Avery. She's not like a big part of it, but she is in it. So is obviously Jameson. It's a lot more focused on Jameson and Grayson. Grayson, like, he meets, like, his dad, like, his sister. So it's kind of cool that it focuses a little bit more on, like, him.
Since, okay.
Like, obviously, a lot of people had a lot of interest in him.
Yeah.
With the first three books. I thought it was good. I rated it 3.5 stars.
Okay.
And I think it was more so because of the narrator. I didn't like the narrator.
Yeah.
So I think he brought that down for me.
Yeah.
So you do with it as you will. And then I started, I got an arc for Temple of Swoon by Joe Segura. She wrote Raiders of the Lost. It's like a spinoff of Indiana Jones. And that was a very, I talked about it quickly, so I'll like do like a 10 second recap, but like very quirky, fun, like corny mm-hmm. Indiana Jones type of book. But like the female main character was a badass bitch.
Yeah.
Loved it. A little bit of mystery component also. Same kind of feel, like it kind of carries through a Temple of Swoon. Do I think you need to read the first one? Probably not. But they do mention some things that happened in it. Either way, like there's a little bit of a mystery component. There's like a sabotage of like the archaeological dig. The female main character is very quirky, kind of nerdy. And it was like put in charge. Like she's never been in charge of anything, but like she really is trying to make a name for herself in the archaeological world. And again, with females in the archaeological world, it's, you're not really like super respected. So it's, I just like that component too. So I'm 60% in and I'm like thoroughly enjoying this.
Okay.
It is a little instant attraction-y, but again, I don't care about instant attraction. And of course the male main character is like the one doing the sabotaging because his dad doesn't want this girl to find like the lost city.
Yeah.
So I'm like really curious how this like obviously plays out. Obviously they'll fall in love at the end. But so far, like I thought it was going to be very like fast spice. Again, same thing. Like they have a moment and then like it gets interrupted. And now they're like, well, we should cool down anyway. And like they both have their reasons. And I'm really digging it. It's like hitting the spot right now.
That's, I love when a book hits the spot.
So to be determined on like final ratings. But right now it's like seriously sitting at a 4-star.
Okay.
Which I think is like a decent book.
I think that's pretty solid.
I do too. And that's all I have.
That's all that I have too. Next week we're going to be doing The Wedding People, which is not our typical.
No.
It's more lit fic.
Yeah.
Or it is lit fic. But I'm excited.
I started on audio. The audio's good.
I actually might stop at Barnes & Noble on my home and pick up the physical
book.
I mean,
you do drive right past it.
I know. So I'm like, oh, do I need to? I think I do. And then we have not talked about September at all yet. So.
Oh, my God. Which, like, it's crazy because today's the 18th.
Yeah, next week is the last week of August.
Like, come again.
And then it's September. Which, like, I'm excited because I'm going away at the end of September. But, again, like, I'm not ready for summer to be over. We really don't get enough summer. I think because, like, I'm working. So, like, if you have a plan – like, I want to go to the beach more or, like, lay outside and get tan. Like, even my brother – I was with my brother and my sister-in-law yesterday. And they, like, spend 6 months in Florida and 6 months in New York. And when they got home from Florida, they were so tan. Like – so tan. And like this is like coming out of winter, like they were like so tan. Now that it's summer up here and they're in the city, like they're also so pale.
What stinks about the Jersey Shore, and I'm sure anyone who lives maybe at a or close to a beach can maybe relate, you can't enjoy what you have access to because once the summertime hits in the state of New Jersey, like so once Memorial Day is here, it's just traffic central. So if you're not on the road by eight.
No, I say we've been going at 9, and 9's been okay.
Okay, so at least by 9, you're fucked.
Yeah.
But, like, if you don't want to get up that early and do that, if you want to do, like, a later day beach day, if you have kids,
yeah.
Like, you're not getting out the door at those times. Unless, like, you're actually staying at the beach.
Yeah.
And you can't really just drive down whenever until after Labor Day. Which like, and then in September, don't get me wrong, there's hot days, but it's a different beach vibe.
It's a different beach vibe. Also, like, next weekend I have plans which are at the beach, so I'm happy about that. The following weekend is Labor Day, which is always mayhem.
You can't go to the beach that weekend.
I was going
to
say, I probably just like won't go. And then the second week of September, I have plans. So even if it is like nice that weekend where like no one's there, can't go. The following weekend I'm getting my hair done, which my friend does my hair in Belmar, which is like technically at the beach. So I'm like, maybe hopefully that weekend we get something nice. And then I'll be the next 2 weekends, I'll be in London. So then it's October. And then at that point,
it's over.
So even if it's like a nice day, like in general, it's cold at the beach. Like you can't go to the beach.
Yeah. And during the week it's hard because you work. So it's like, well,
yeah.
And you could like take off days if you want, just like plan it. Like it doesn't necessarily, like right now, like this morning it was sunny. And now, I mean, it's still, like, warm out. I'm sure you can still get color, but it's not sunny right now.
No, like, yeah, I took Thursday, Friday off. Friday, we did go to the beach. We went with our friends. Thursday, I was going to just drive down by myself. But then, like, I was like, oh, well, I also need to take my car for a car wash because a bottle of alcohol exploded in my car. And it smelled like a distillery. And it was, like, I was gagging. There's just, like, 1,000 different things like that I was like, I have to do. And then, like, another, like, in July, I took off. And it was – it rained. So I was like, okay, well,
yeah,
whatever. But
I don't even know what the sun is this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I shouldn't complain.
Next year's my year.
Next year's your year.
I will be at that fucking beach. I'll have a 2 and a 1 year old. I'll be good.
Yeah, honestly, we'll leave them somewhere. Just kidding.
No, we will.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Have fun at Grandma and Grandpa's.
No, but seriously.
But yeah, so next week, the wedding people. I keep wanting to say the wedding guests. That's all right. The wedding people. And then stay tuned for September. We'll have to discuss.
Yeah.
But on that note, Katie Jean, can you sign us out? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.